The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now notice the preparation of Judas' heart here. He's not ready yet to execute the plan. He's not ready yet to actually do it. But here you have in John 13, verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. There's a preparation of heart. And Judas entertains these thoughts.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak Today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we're on the air again to bring you the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We'll have our Bible reading in just a moment. And we have also Al Smith to sing for us, This Love Is Mine. And then we'll be ministering on Judas. Judas Iscariot, the man appointed to betray the Lord Jesus. Left to himself, he was a traitor. And we're hoping today that you'll stay tuned with us through the program as we minister the gospel today and of the death of our Lord Jesus. This Love Is Mine, Al Smith will be singing for us, and we're looking forward to that message in song. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And if you wish to be in touch with us here, please take down the number, website, email at the close of the program today. Our heart's desire is to minister to you, to be of help to you in any way we can, by personal conversation, by phone, or by email, or if you wish to write us here at our address, or if we can send you tapes or literature. Feel free to give us a call here at Let the Bible Speak, the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Thank you for joining with us today, and just in a few seconds, we're going to have Al Smith to sing for us, This Love Is Mine. Here he is singing for us. Thank you for joining with us today.
The depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star, but the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love. This love is mine. I behold his love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart. Since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by his wonder-working power. And someday I'll thank him face to face in glory. When with all the millions at his feet I fall, and through countless ages there I'll live rejoicing, sing forever at the wonder of it all. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ, my Lord divine. When on the tree, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine.
We'll turn to our Bible reading. We're going to read together in John chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse 18. John 13 and verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Amen. We'll end our reading right there, and may the Lord bless his word to your heart and to your soul today. Now we're coming to the Lord's word here. And today we want to come to one of the key figures in the drama of the death of our Lord Jesus. We're coming near to Easter again. We've got just a few Sundays to consider the death of our Lord Jesus. So we're going to opt out of our series in the book of Proverbs for these few Sunday mornings, and we're going to consider the great issues of our Savior on those last days of his life here on earth. In fact, this evening, or this morning, we're going to look at those last hours when he was betrayed. And we want to look a little into the mindset of that worst of characters, that man called Judas, whose name speaks betrayal everywhere you go in the world today. Any parent that would dare give to their child the name Judas would be doing an awful disservice. Who would dare to give to their child such a name? Has everyone thought even of using such a name? If you were to be called a Judas, you would be looked upon one who is of that category, not to be trusted whatsoever. I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew, first of all, and to the chapter 26, Matthew 26. And in these opening verses, you will notice that the betrayal of our Lord and the death of our Lord Jesus really began at a conference table in the house of Caiaphas. We're told in Matthew 26, verse 3, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. So we can see that the plot is spawned and the murderous desires are in the hearts of these scribes and of these chief priests in the house or the palace of the high priest, no less than Caiaphas himself. But they have a problem. And the problem is that they dare not seek to take the Lord Jesus in the midst of a multitude, because there would be an uproar. And we find they obviously wanted to plot and scheme that they might find him in a quiet place. But how could they do that? This was now the week of the feast. This was the time when Jerusalem was filled with all manner of people. Where and how could they find him? There was a missing link. And we find, as you go on down in Matthew 26 to verse 14, there is the missing link that is discovered. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. And here are these wretched religious men scheming and wondering how they can take him, but they fear the people and they need someone to deliver him into their hands. And there may have been a knock at the door, and there appears one of his own disciples ready to sell him out. You could probably have knocked them over with a feather. They would wonder, could it be as easy as this? How can this fall into place so easily? And so we find that the scheme takes a new course, with Judas being a schemer and a plotter and so on. Now, if you move to Luke's account in Luke chapter 22, you begin to see that behind this, the minds of the scribes and Pharisees, and the mind of Judas, there is another force at work. Luke 22 and the verses 2 and 3. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They had a plan, they had a scheme, but they didn't know how to execute it. They feared the people. Verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests. And so Luke's account gives us that Satan was now at work. He was busy at work, seeking to bring this plot together. And no doubt Satan knew what these scribes and Pharisees were scheming. Now, he's putting into the very mind and into the heart of Judas the same thing. In Luke 22, verse 5, you'll see that money is discussed. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. That's the 30 pieces of silver. Promises are made. And from that moment, verse 6, he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. In some way to get the Lord offside to a lonely place and inform this high priest and his scribes and get them informed so that they could make their arrest and execute their plan of murder. And so Judas is a key player in this. And his name is really one of treachery. And his part is absolutely despicable. One of the 12. It would be a fearful thing if there could be a Judas amongst the people of God today. If the same statistic is true of one in every 12 will become a false professor, a deceiver, a schemer, and a betrayer of the Lord Jesus. Now this man really causes us all to search our hearts and to check and see that we truly be in the faith and that we know the Lord. Now whether we become the cursed of the Lord or the blessed of the Lord. And I don't want to preach anyone here into unbelief or to preach you into doubt. But what I want to do today is, first of all, to look at the steps of Judas, the steps that he made. And the first thing that I would point out about this man, Judas, and the steps that he made was that he was for 3 years in the steps of Jesus. He was in those very steps. We could say he was in the Jesus way. He walked with him. He became his disciple. In Mark 3:19, he is named in that list of disciples that were appointed. His name is put last, Judas the Iscariot. And he is, from the very beginning, included amongst the 12. He is not second-rated. He is not in any way looked upon as less favored. He has all the advantages, all the introductions to the Lord, all the training that the other disciples had, and yet all the while, we find that he was not genuine. Now, any fault in his steps went undetected. And back in Matthew again, 26, verse 22, we have the question where each of the disciples turn to one another and say, "Is it I? Is it I?" Matthew 26 and verse 22. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, went on to expose the man Judas. Not one of the disciples suspected Judas. Not one for a moment. Said, well, it must be him. We know that this Judas, he just drags along. He is just the reluctant, bad-spirited, evil one of us. No, they never for a moment thought that it was Judas. Judas also did miracles in Jesus' name. He followed the Lord Jesus right into the temple at the Passover. He was there, close on the heels of the Lord Jesus, just as much as any of the other disciples. His steps took him in the Jesus way. Now, I'm saying all of this because they were steps that led to hell. They were steps that took him down to destruction. Because you are saved not by your imitation of the Lord Jesus, walking in his footsteps, doing as Jesus would do. That's not what saves your soul. What saves your soul is not imitating the Lord and his deeds and actions. It is trusting him as your Savior. And Judas, we know in the end, betrayed the innocent blood. He denied the death work of the Lord Jesus. And he sold him out. And even though for all of those years he put up a great facade of being genuine and doing all the right things, yet this is no proof of salvation, because that would be by works. Salvation is not to be had in imitating the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, once you become a Christian, and once you get saved, and once you get washed in the blood of Christ, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then I would say to you, now you've got to walk as the Lord Jesus walked and talk as he talked. You've got to live right. You've got to walk right. That's your call to be holy and to be conformed to his image. But that's not what you say to an unconverted sinner, to one who is yet in his sins. You don't tell someone who is yet unrepentant, unconverted, well, just clean up your act and start doing what Jesus did and you'll be saved. Because Judas did that, and he found himself lost. There are various sects, various religions in the world, and they teach this over and over. There are some who call themselves two-by-twos, and they put all this emphasis on living as Jesus would have lived. Some would even go to the point of dressing as he dressed. Some would even go to the point of opting out of society and trying living what they would call the Jesus life. That's not the way to be saved. You're not called to those things, but rather you're called to put your faith in his cross work, in his death, in his sufferings. So what a foolish idea that was. We cannot worship, we cannot serve God in the flesh. We cannot, for we are human and only human, but Christ lived for us, and we are to rest on his work, and we are to cease from ourselves and put our confidence upon that work of the Lord Jesus.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.